I'm leaving Saturday. Maybe I can eke an extra day out of the place.
All right.
Stay around and play. And tonight, we're going to be talking about place. My name is Doug Dahlstedt, and let's roll. These introductions are always awkward. I've traveled all over this country, prospecting and digging for gold. I've blasted hydraulic and cradle, and I have been frequently sold. For one who gets riches by mining, others 10,000, others that grow poor. So I made up my mind to try farming. Why, it's the only pursuit that is sure. So folding my grub in my blanket, I left all my tools on the ground. And I started one morning to shank it for the country they call Puget Sound. Arriving flat broke in midwinter, I found it enveloped in fog and covered all over with timber as thick as the hairs on a dog. Surveying my prospects so gloomy, a tick trickled over my face. And I wondered if my travels hadn't brought me to the end of the jumping off place. So I still had it in my mind to try farming. So I set myself down to hard toil. For 5 years I chopped and I labored, but I never got down to the soil. Tried to get out of the country, but poverty forced me to stay. Until I became an old settler, then nothing could drive me away. And now that I'm used to the climate, well, I think if a soul ever found that was peaceful and quiet, that Eden is on Puget Sound. No longer a slave of ambition, I laugh at the world and its sham. As I think of my happy condition, surrounded by acres of clams. It's an old settler's song from Puget Sound. An old settler. Well, we're kind of all old settlers in one way or another. And what I wanted to talk about tonight, rather to hear more about, is how one inhabits a place. What is it that makes a place special? And what bearing does that have in the process that we might all initiate in helping to heal the planet? My perception of Christianity has been one that it was tied long, long ago to Greek mythology, or really Platonic thinking, which placed supreme value on things above the neckline, what was going on in the head, something that was closer to the sky. The closer to the sky it was, the better. And the feet got sorely neglected, even to the point of, in our own biblical story, nature becoming a place of something that was even best to be avoided, feared anyway, avoided most of the time, a place that was sullied and dirty. Our respect for sacred places in landforms changed, I think, dramatically when the old Judean tradition of being chased around from country to country, the nomadic peoples, people who are herders, nomads of various sorts, took their god with them as they wandered around the Middle East. And It's the feeling of a lot of people in environmental studies that one of our key links that we need to reestablish is the link to place. Take off the feet, off the shoes, wiggle the feet in the soil, and get connected again. Now what I wanted to... Actually, what I want to do right now is digress just a minute. Those of you who are at the Sustainable Agricultural Sustainable Society presentation, I need a little bit of feedback from you. Is that a fringe proposition? Sustainable society, sustainable agriculture? Is that something that belongs in California fields? Is that something that's associated with the counterculture that doesn't really exist or has no place in modern American farming? That's a big digression, but it will tie it in here. Just, is it something that makes sense that you see it and you say, yeah, that's I understand that. I don't quite know how to get there or whether I should, but.
I see the end of farming the way we're farming today. I don't see the smaller types of agriculture that you're talking about as an answer at this point, because I guess I don't see the finances to it yet. You know, something is limiting my perception of that.
Maybe not. Maybe experience. Okay, the reason I ask that is I've been talking to people around the village, and one of the responses that I get is that that's a very, seems to be a very outlandish idea. The idea of going to living on the land's income rather than its capital. And I wonder how many good ideas are dismissed because of the company that they're associated with. Now, it tended to be the counterculture that was promoting a lot of these ideas in the 70s, and maybe they got a bad association going. Yeah.
Living on the land's income is a very important concept instead of its capital. It's in the definition of capital, I think, where the thing kind of broke down in the presentation that I heard you make yesterday. And so I don't think if you consider the demographics and the economics of the world community, it's going to be possible to feed the world without the utilization of chemical fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides. Have we used too much in some places? My opinion is an unequivocal yes. But I just don't think that to say we're going to reduce it to that scope when you go and go out and say, look at even the eastern population density of the eastern half of the United States, mm-hmm. or go to the Far East, Europe. I don't think it's going to happen. But very important to consider the capital of the land, as you emphasized. That's extremely important. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. That gives me some good feedback on that session, which is hard to get sometimes from other sources. When I was asked to be here in what I perceived to be a Lutheran community that all had the same background, maybe even the same last names, I kind of wondered about coming in as somebody who was non-affiliated, non-denominational, and carrying ideas that, if they were put into effect, would really radically transform American society. And I think it's important. What is exciting to me is that if any of you, or some of you, or many of you, are convinced of some of these ideas, and you begin as a seed here to go back to your communities and research them further, make contact with this farmer in North Dakota who's growing organically on a large scale, make contact with other people who are studying different parts of the Earth's biological systems, and pursue that, the change that you can bring about to modern America is tremendous. Because you are it. You're the establishment. You're the people that that are all in all the shops and homes. And when a friend down the street
finds out that the Lutheran Church has just made a decision to not serve their coffee in styrofoam cups. Furthermore, they've been telling their grocers that they're going to support the grocer's decision to use biodegradable plastics, which they do have now. They're more expensive, but they have them. That's a major statement. It's not somebody with rings on their fingers and bells on their toes coming dancing into town saying it all needs to change. It's people of the community, which ties back into place, because you're of that place. You have that history there and that stature. And as far as people have mentioned this issue of Time magazine, and in that issue of Time magazine that talked about the planet of the year, Christianity, with its emphasis on dominion, was cast in a not such a good light as far as our ecological or religious roots of our ecological problems. And I just want to read you what the editor of Time wrote about the planet. He said, "No attempt to protect the environment will be successful in the long run until ordinary people, the California housewife, the Mexican peasant, the Soviet factory worker, the Chinese farmer, are willing to adjust their lifestyles. We must recycle more, procreate less, turn off the lights, use mass transit, do 1,000 things differently in our everyday lives. We owe this not only to ourselves and our children, but to the unborn generations who will one day inherit the earth. Now more than ever, the world needs leaders who can inspire their fellow citizens with a fiery sense of mission. Not a nationalistic or a military campaign, but a universal crusade to save this planet. Unless mankind embraces the cause totally and without delay, it may have no alternative to the bang of nuclear holocaust or the whimper of a slow extinction." State of the World, by the way, lists specifically the Lutheran Church as being one of those groups that could be organized on the face of the planet to bring about great change. Now, that may be because the executive director of World Watch, Lester Brown, is also on the board of Jerry Barnes' 21st Century Institute. But undoubtedly, they've had some conversation about the potential of organized religion to have change. I have one more song here. Sitting on a red roof, house on the hill. Old yellow truck in the driveway's got some miles on her still. Out front, the pavement's buckled where the roots have taken hold. To the south lies the mountain, a glory to behold. Out on the sound, countless boats are sailing. Up on the shoreline, a single figure runs. And off in the distance, the Cascades are smiling, bathed in the gold of the setting sun. Up north lies Alaska, our last true frontier. Out west lies the Olympics and the ocean so near. Back east lies madness, say what you will. Say I'm a maniac singing from the hill. Out on the road, well, we tell all the strangers, yes, it's always raining and the sun, it never shines. But all the natives know when the mountain lifts her skirts, the view from home will flat out melt your mind. Black roof sitting on a red roof, house on the hill. Old yellow truck in the driveway's got some miles on her still. Out front, the pavement's buckled where the roots have taken hold. To the south lies the mountain, a glory to behold. And the view from home will flat out melt your mind. Place, well, what is it? Anybody have any favorite places? Holden's a place. What makes Holden special?
Community, people.
Community, people.
Okay.
What is it about this community?
Supportive.
Careful.
Supportive?
Supportive. Okay. Yeah.
Friendly.
Elaborate a little more on the environment.
Well, the environment, the mountains, the river, the setting.
One thing that I've noticed that has made this a really special place to me, being a recent arrival here, is I keep meeting people who've come back here for 20 years. You have a time dimension here that is amazing. And what that means is that there are people here who know the old histories. You have the old timers. Not only the old growth mountains, the old man mountains, but you have old growth human beings here.
Concept of memory.
Elaborate a little bit on that, Ken.
Well, just the Christian faith is a sense of a story passed on by people of remembrance, and it's the stories, it's the power of the story. And remembering those who have come before and all that applies.
There's something that kind of broke my heart. Up in the library there, in the children's library, there's a picture of a little girl who was of this place at one time in her life and whose life flickered out somewhere in the snow in a place far away. And yet, the thread of that person, whoever that was, and I didn't even know her, was woven into my fabric and my experience here. There's that memory, that connection all over. Anything else about Holden as a place?
Commitment.
Okay, why don't you elaborate on that, Bill?
Well, from the beginning that this was decided what it was going to be, there have been people willing to put their time and effort without pay to make sure that it continues.
Yeah, that's what the world needs.
Yeah. Openness, another one.
What is it?
Openness. You're free to disagree.
So it's an openness combined with a
acceptance.
With an acceptance.
With an acceptance.
And a mutual respect. In that, even if I don't think someone's right, I mean, obviously if they're wrong, but I can still respect them. And if they say something, I can hear it.
Okay, would you say it's a toleration of diversity? And if you say that, how far are you willing to go? Is that a feature of a place? I don't know. I just, you know, thought that came to mind. Anything else?
It's a place apart, and because of that, it's a place of renewal where we can gain a perspective.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, the original meaning of the word resource was to rise again. We've come to think of resource as something that we use, but the original meaning is really this. This truly is, in the original sense of the word, a resource for all of us. I know that I touched this place through some meditation that happened in a Kaizen class presentation. It was a time when I took the time to be present here, to be really present here, and reach out with the powers of my imagination, with a little assistance from Dick, to connect with places here. I may be touched in some way, but I can't see a place very well in the present without having the past roll over it. When I see a place like this, I see ocean waves crashing against it long ago. See tremendous forces of the earth. The mountains weren't always here. There were other things going on here. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not. But that thread of time, I can tell you about my place, Puget Sound. We have common furniture. That song that I was singing, the view to the south, the mountain, The mountain belongs to everyone and no one in the sound. It's a sacred place. In our best ability in Western society, we set it aside as a park. My sister was a ranger there one year, and people keep coming up and wanting to know where the road to the top was. There isn't any road to the top. So in our society, we've set aside places, mostly wilderness. We call them wilderness, so there's some debate whether or not wilderness exists anymore, ever, on the planet. I tend to think it does. There are places deep down in the abysmal sea of the oceans that I would consider wildernesses, and the wilderness of mind. This renewal idea. We have a long organic history as a species. We get wrapped up in our affairs in cities with a time that's controlled by really atomic time now, rather than natural time, seasonal time, except maybe the farmers. I'm not sure about what their time is like. We come out here and we see a deer, and we see birds, and we see mountains, and we see snowfields melting according to their own time schedule. And it calls to something very, very deep inside of us. I think that's a sense of renewal, at least that I get going out into the wilderness. It's a different time. It's a different pace.
How about rhythm?
Rhythm?
I just go rhythm.
R-H-Y-T-H.
Okay. How many of you, by a show of hands, have lived in the same place more than 5 years? More than 10? More than 20? More than your family, more than your lifetime and your family's generation.
Same general area?
Same general area, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Same general area.
Come back. Can you leave and come back?
Well, there's a phrase that says you can never go home again, and there's another that says you'll always go home to die. So, that, too, is something that's a modern phenomenon. There's a great book in the bookstore by a guy named Wendell Berry called The Unsettling of America. It talks about how we have uprooted ourselves time and time and time again from a place to move somewhere else. So I'm interested, I meet people all the time who move on to the island, into the Northwest, and I hear them say things like, God, it feels right at home here. And I wonder why. How does it feel at home to them when they don't know the stories? Or maybe they do know the stories. Maybe they do something akin to kithing, where they've, with their eyes open, because they're so new, they have touched into the song of the place, and they hear it, clearer than a lot of the residents who've lived there a long time. I don't know what's happening in your communities, but in our community that's facing the onslaught of tremendous numbers of people moving into the area, it's not the old-timers who are going to save it. It's the people who've just moved there. They're the ones that are the most impassioned about keeping it the way it is. And I find that very interesting, too. I'd like you to do a little visualization with me, so if you can get comfortable for a moment. You can close your eyes, if you wish, and take a deep breath, and then blow it out. And take another deep breath, and have the breath go right up over the top of your head, and flow back down your spinal cord, way deep down into your belly, and let it out. I'd like you to see yourself standing barefooted on a carpet. And before you is a curtain. And when you're ready, I want you to walk through that curtain and find yourself in a place. and your bare feet touch whatever they're touching as you walk into that place and explore it. Off in the distance, not too far away, there's a sound. I want you to pay attention to that sound for a minute. Continue your walk into that place. Nearby, you see a box. A box that, for some reason, you can't quite see over the top of, but you know that it has a lid. And you reach out to that box, and you lift the lid, and there's a smell that comes out. Leave the box with your bare feet touching the ground. You walk on and there's a wind blowing. And you feel the wind across the back of your neck, your face, the hairs on your arm. Find that you're hungry, and there's a table before you. There's food on the table. So you reach out and choose from all the foods that are laid in there. Being full in both heart, spirit, body. Bring yourself back through that curtain and onto the carpet. And if you want, you can blow a kiss or wave goodbye to that place. And when you're ready to come back into the room here, feel free to do so. Assuming that most of you went somewhere, how many of you went to a place in your childhood? How many of you went to some place that is of your life right now? Okay. If you're willing to share some of those impressions, what is it that, for those of you that were in your childhood, what was it about that place that was so special? Did it have these same elements, or was it something else?
For me, it was back in my dad's big backyard with green grass, and I could smell the lilacs, and my mom was always cooking dinner, and all the fragrances you drift out into the yard.
I'm hearing the word security, maybe. Does that fit? And that's part of this. Anybody else?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those fit in it. I went walking in the freshly plowed black dirt, and there's a tractor, and I opened the box, and I could smell fresh Monet, which I was raised in a farm when I was a kid.
Mine is either time or rhythm, because it's a place that I hiked when I was in, when I was a small boy, and that I still go riding on bike ride. I still go up there. Tough state forest.
How many of you ever had a special place? To me, I would call them sacred places. That have been, that are no longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the forest you used to visit, you go back and there's the bulldozer working away.
Or there's a marina.
Or there's a marina.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything more psychologically shattering. I mean, that's a type of death. And that's a transition that we as Americans, particularly North Americans, almost like we go out of our way to invent it. It's almost as though our culture is telling us to transcend that idea of place. The idea of you carry your home with you, carry your home and heart with you. And what I'm suggesting is that a way to a complete view of health is some connection to a place.
Yeah, I can relate to that just in my own experience of being back east for 7 years. And my wife was literally getting sick because she was born and raised on the Sound with the mountain and the whales and all of that. And she said, it's like a salmon. Hey, that was the analogy she used. I have to go home. But back to place, back to community, back to where I was raised, where my grandfather immigrated from Sweden, and you know, all of that. It's, so, yeah, it's a matter of life for her.
Yeah, it seems as though our identities extend both in time and space. I know my sense of place came very strongly when I was sitting and talking to my grandmother, who grew up on the same land, and she was telling me a story when she was a little girl. And when she was a little girl, as we sat there on the beach, she said, right up there it was, when I was a young girl, 8 or 9, I remember seeing the big Tlingit canoes come down as they were following the harvest. And they came out of the fog right around the point. And I watched them and dove underneath this log. And I said, this log? This log? And she said, yes, this log. And I watched them as they went by, and I was terrified. I watched them go by, singing their songs, and then they went off into the mist again. And all of a sudden, for me, that place was never, ever the same. It was where this event happened to my grandmother. And I occasionally, when I walk the beach, I still hear those songs, the Indian canoes, as they come down. Anybody else want to share any other experiences of the place that they visited?
When you asked about sounds, it took me a minute, and suddenly I heard the sounds of the horse drawing the milk wagon. Forgotten that for a lot of years.
Now, you've heard me say that I think we need a place to be psychologically, completely, identity-wise integrated. And that coming from a sense of place, we can help heal the planet. It comes under this idea of thinking globally and acting locally. If you go back and heal your place, it's a step on the road to healing the planet. There are others out there who may not agree with that, and I want to throw that open. Do people feel that place is important? Yes.
I require a maple tree. I've had to move a lot, and that's the one thing I can't find.
Any others? Anybody else that feels that place really isn't important? That I've met biologists who say that since they understand the flow of life patterns, they really feel comfortable any place. That the Gaian hypothesis of the Earth being an organism, that they see the patterns of life, the same patterns of life happening wherever they go. Even in a city. There are people who are very comfortable in cities. Anybody have any images about going back to a city?
Well, I do in a way. I've moved not a whole lot, but from both coasts and in the middle. I think we've left a significant thing out of there. I feel the Spirit of God is here. And when I went through this curtain, I have a favorite chair where I have my quiet time and where I meditate. And I guess maybe from having moved, that chair is important to me, a place where I can get away alone.
So have you had that chair with you?
I think if you have love, I don't know how to say this, the place isn't all that important. And yet I can see what you're saying. Like, I feel like my real roots are where I grew up as a child. But that's not where I went back when we were closing our eyes for 10 minutes.
It's not by mistake that we wouldn't use those words, roots.
I still feel like that's home, but that didn't come to me. Like I hear everybody else saying.
Yeah.
This is something I think along the line. What she's trying to say is, to me, place, I've moved a lot as well. And to me, place is not as important as a sense of community. And it can be, much of that needs to be spiritual. That, and for me, I feel more comfortable on bedrock rather than soft sediments. But community, I think, is the key to a sense of being in a place. It's a sense of community.
I'm trying to get a handle on something that I feel that you said that's very important, is that spiritual element. If anyone can give me an assistance with that.
I don't know if this will or not, but for me it's where you find an inner peace. And it's where you're able to come, where you're able to center, and things just kind of fall away, and it's an inner peace. And
so like
it's
some
a kind of spiritual feeling.
So like some famous people that we've read about who spent long years in gulag prisons, who were sustained by their own centeredness, much of which came from maybe remembering, having had proper nourishment and carrying that with them. Maybe they're still being nourished by where they came from. I'm stretching.
We talked about God's presence in us and among us. Maybe that's...
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes?
I think the only thing that makes me nervous about identifying a place is that it, maybe it's my place, but is it your place? Or like we've been studying this week, the Palestine is saying it's my place, and the Israeli is saying, no, this is my place. And if it's an identifiable piece of ground or a nation, or is that going to be nationalistic? Does that exclude other ideas and other places as a place for your home or your people? And you know, that could be also be a source of conflict then. Or maybe your place is so narrow that it doesn't allow new ideas or new races or, you know, whatever needs for the world to exist, to get along.
I think rhythm has a lot to do with it. Being one with that area, but you feel that you're part of the wind and part of either the meadow or the ocean. You don't feel like a stranger. That it's, I don't know, your blood flows with the same water that you're walking along. And it's not the same for everybody. That's what I find. When I find a place that I really feel good at or feel at home at, it's when I feel total serenity and this rhythm that is on the way. That you're just pulling everything that's happening around you.
So maybe it's, I'm going to pick up on your idea, maybe it's not every place that's special, but there must be some places that remain special. I mean, isn't that part of the function of a church? It's that when you walk through those doors, you're in a very special place. A place that were to be destroyed, would cause kind of a rendering within your own being.
I went to Northern California in my visualization, because that's where I was when I was about a lady of age. Maybe seeing her running around barefoot got me a country fan. One of the things I did when I was little was get about a billion redwood stickers in my feet, because we had slabs of redwood out in front of our house as stepping stones. And my dad logged redwood. And seeing log trucks with big, huge logs on it was part of my growing up and part of the place in which I live. And so now I have a great desire to preserve the redwood trees, you know, so they're there, not that we're going to cut them. Mm-hmm. And I thought of that in terms of a special place later on in Oregon where I lived was the walnut orchards, you know, and now that's in somebody's front yard. It isn't an orchard anymore. And so I think some of the things that we grow up with in one form, like the fact that we're cutting the trees in, now I see wanting to preserve them so that they're always there.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Place seems to be almost as a geographic, seems to be inversely proportionate in importance to the existence of the rest of the church. If I have a sense of a supportive community, then where it is important. If I don't have a sense of supportive community, then the place where I felt it becomes exceptionally important. Place that I can identify with that becomes exceptionally important.
So where you had a feeling of what great integration or wholeness or acceptance or love or any of these or
all of these.
Becomes, when you find that again, that's again,
that's fine.
That's home.
That's fine.
Isn't it possible in a circumstance like that that the place is contributing, but the people just aren't conscious of the way that it's contributing? They're saying that, you know, that they're oriented toward people rather than the location, but the location may be making its contribution in some unconscious way.
Everyone hear that? You're saying that doesn't the place, the environment, physical environment, where an interaction like that happens, that you have a powerful feeling, isn't that a major factor in that feeling? Is that right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, I've moved to a number of different settings. And I don't think that they're uniquely contributory to that sense of wholeness.
One thing that place does for a lot of people, and why it's advocated by Wendell Berry, he frankly just said, look, stay home, don't move. Go back to where you came from and figure out what's there, and that's where you make your stand. Dig in. Your home is your home. And you can't run away from all the things that are causing destruction in the world just by heading further out. Go back, make a stand.
Do you think it's also possible maybe that some people don't deserve the places that they live in? You know, like some really beautiful places, or, you know, which usually have high real estate. And that unconsciously people, you know, there's some kind of anxiety generated. They know they can afford it, but they know that they're not, unconsciously, they're not really settled. So there's some sort of tension that's created. Mm-hmm. You know, I always want to say California. Parts of Puget Sound.
When I think of the amount of destruction that's done in the world on a daily basis, hourly, minute, second by second basis, I wonder if that doesn't come from people's perception. And a big part of this game of changing the world is perception. If you really believe that you're intimately connected with everything that is, was, or ever will be on this planet, wherever it is, then you can't just go out there and whack down a bunch of trees. You can't do it in the same way as if you view the trees as being more of an extension of a mechanistic universe. They're just stuff. It's just material. If you actually feel that there's a spiritual essence that pervades every single thing, it changes the way you walk. It changes the way you think. It's just like we're trying laboriously to eradicate he in our vocabulary. We keep saying he, and male apologists keep saying, well, you know, I don't really mean he. I mean he as in the generic human being sense. And the women I know keep saying, you may be thinking that, but your very language that you choose to use only contributes to the masculine domination that's in this culture. And what I want to know is, and it's, we've got good feedback going here, is place necessary?
Sometimes.
Well, yeah. In view of what you just said, that if indeed we feel intimately connected with life wherever it happens, then does it make a difference? You know, why can't we be citizens of the world?
Yeah, I understand that, and I also feel, I feel this one log on this one beach with the stones underneath and a gray drizzly day and my grandmother sitting there telling me a story about this place. There's a wonderful story in this little book which is called Minding the Earth by a guy named Joseph Meeker. Natives know when the mountain lifts her skirts, the view from home will flat out melt your mind. Black crow sitting on a red roof, house on the hill. Truck in the driveway's got some miles on her still. Out front, the pavement's buckled where the roots have taken hold. To the south lies the mountain, a glory to behold. And the view from home will flat out melt your mind. Place, well, what is it? Anybody have any favorite places? Holden's a place. What makes Holden special?
Community. People.
Community. People. Okay. What is it about this community?
Supportive.
Careful. Supportive. Okay. Yeah.
Environment. Friendly.
Elaborate a little more on the environment.
Well, the environment, the mountains, the river, the setting.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I've noticed that has made this a really special place to me, being a recent arrival here, is I keep meeting people who've come back here for 20 years. You have a time dimension here that is amazing. And what that means is that there are people here who know the old histories. You have the old timers, not only the old growth mountains, the old man mountains, but you have old growth human beings here.
Concept of memory.
Elaborate a little bit on that, Ken.
Well, just the Christian faith is a sense of a story passed on by people of remembrance, and it's the stories, it's the power of the story, and remembering those who have come before, and all of that applies.
There's something that kind of broke my heart. Up in the library there, in the children's library, there's a picture of a little girl who was of this place at one time in her life, and whose life flickered out somewhere in the snow in a place far away. And yet, the thread of that person, whoever that was, and I didn't even know her, was woven into my fabric and my experience here. There's that memory, that connection all over. Anything else about Holden as a place?
Commitment.
Okay, why don't you elaborate on that a bit?
Well, from the beginning that this was decided what it was going to be, there have been people willing to put their time and effort without pay to make sure that it continues.
Yeah, that's what the world needs.
Yeah.
Openness, another one.
What is it?
Openness. You're free to disagree.
So it's an openness combined with a...
acceptance.
With an acceptance.
With an acceptance.
And a mutual respect. In that, even if I don't think someone's right, I mean, obviously if they're wrong, but I can still respect them. And if they say something, I can hear it.
Okay, would you say it's a toleration of diversity? And if you say that, how far are you willing to go? Is that a feature of a place? I don't know. I just, you know, thought that came to mind. Anything else?
It's a place apart, and because of that, it's a place of renewal, where you can gain a perspective.
Incidentally, the original meaning of the word resource was to rise again. Like we've come to think of resource as something that we use, but the original meaning is really this. This truly is, in the original sense of the word, a resource for all of us. I know that I touched this place through some meditation that happened in a Kaizen class presentation. It was a time when I took the time to be present here, to be really present here, and reach out with the powers of my imagination, with a little assistance from Dick, to connect with places here. I may be touched in some way, but I can't see a place very well in the present without having the past roll over it. When I see a place like this, I see ocean waves crashing against it long ago. See tremendous forces of the earth. The mountains weren't always here. There were other things going on here. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not. But that thread of time, I can tell you about my place, Puget Sound. We have common furniture. That song that I was singing, the view to the south, the mountain belongs to everyone and no one in the sound. It's a sacred place. In our best ability in Western society, we set it aside as a park. And my sister was a ranger there one year, and people keep coming up and wanting to know where the road to the top was. We've been any road to the top. So in our society, we've set aside places, mostly wilderness. We call them wilderness, so there's some debate whether or not wilderness exists anymore, ever, on the planet. I tend to think it does. There are places deep down in the abysmal sea of the oceans that I would consider wildernesses, and the wilderness of mind. And this renewal idea, we have a long organic history as a species. We get wrapped up in our affairs in cities with a time that's controlled by really atomic time now, rather than natural time, seasonal time, except maybe the farmers. I'm not sure about what their time is like. We come out here and we see a deer, we see birds, and we see mountains, and we see snowfields melting according to their own time schedule. And it calls to something very, very deep inside of us. I think that's a sense of renewal. At least that I get going out into the wilderness. It's a different time. It's a different pace.
How about rhythm?
Rhythm?
How do you spell rhythm?
Yeah, this way. Okay. How many of you, by a show of hands, have lived in the same place more than 5 years? More than 10? More than 20? More than your family, more than your lifetime and your family's generation?
Same general area?
Same general area, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Same general area.
Come back. Can you leave and come back?
Well, there's a phrase that says you can never go home again, and there's another that says you'll always go home to die. So, that too is something that's a modern phenomenon. There's a great book in the bookstore by a guy named Wendell Berry called The Unsettling of America. And it talks about how we have uprooted ourselves time and time and time again from a place to move somewhere else. So I'm interested, I meet people all the time who move onto the island, into the Northwest, and I hear them say things like, God, it feels right at home here. And I wonder why. How does it feel at home to them when they don't know the stories? Or maybe they do know the stories. Maybe they do something akin to tithing, where they've, with their eyes open, because they're so new, they've touched into the song of the place, and they hear it clearer than a lot of the residents who've lived there a long time. I don't know what's happening in your communities, but in our community that's facing the onslaught of tremendous numbers of people moving into the area, it's not the old-timers who are going to save it. It's the people who've just moved there. They're the ones that are the most impassioned about keeping it the way it is. And I find that very interesting, too. I'd like you to do a little visualization with me, so if you can get comfortable for a moment. You can close your eyes if you wish and take a deep breath and then blow it out. And take another deep breath and have the breath go right up over the top of your head and flow back down your spinal cord, way deep down in your belly, and let it out. And I'd like you to see yourself standing barefooted on a carpet. And before you is a curtain. And when you're ready, I want you to walk through that curtain and find yourself in a place. And your bare feet touch whatever they're touching as you walk into that place and explore it. off in the distance, not too far away, there's a sound. I want you to pay attention to that sound for a minute. Continue your walk into that place. And nearby you see a box. A box that, for some reason, you can't quite see over the top of, but you know that it has a lid. And you reach out to that box, and you lift the lid, and there's a smell that comes out. Leave the box with your bare feet touching the ground. You walk on and there's a wind blowing. And you feel the wind across the back of your neck, your face, the hairs on your arm. Find that you're hungry and there's a table before you. There's food on the table. So you reach out and choose from all the foods that are laid in there. Full in both heart, spirit, body. Bring yourself back through that curtain and onto the carpet. And if you want, you can blow a kiss or wave goodbye to that place. And when you're ready to come back into the room here, feel free to do so. Assuming that most of you went somewhere, how many of you went to a place in your childhood? How many of you went to some place that is of your life right now? Okay, if you're willing to share some of those impressions, what is it that, for those of you that were in your childhood, what was it about that place that was so special? Did it have these same elements, or was it something else?
For me, it was back in my dad's big backyard with green grass, and I could smell the lilacs, and my mom was always cooking dinner in the house, and the fragrances would drift down into the yard.
I'm I'm hearing the word security maybe. Does that fit?
And that's part of this.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Well, a lot of those fit in the, I went walking in the freshly plowed black dirt and tractor and opened the box and I could smell fresh from 1-8. I was breathing the farm out of the can.
Mine is either time or rhythm because it's a place that I hiked when I was in, when I was a small boy and that I still go with, when I go on bike ride, I still go up there. Tough, I stay for us.
How many of you ever had a special place, to me I would call them sacred places, that have been, that are no longer? Yeah, but the forest you used to visit, you go back and there's the bulldozer working away.
Or there's a marina.
Yeah. I can't think of anything more psychologically shattering. And that's a type of death. And that's a transition that we as Americans, particularly North Americans, it's almost like we go out of our way to invent it. It's almost as though our culture is telling us to transcend that idea of place. The idea of you carry your home with you, carry your home and heart with you. And what I'm suggesting is that a way to a complete view of health is some connection to a place.
Yeah, I can relate to that just in my own experience of being back east for 7 years. And my wife was literally getting sick because she was born and raised on the Sound with the mountain and the whales and all of that. And she said, it's like a salmon. Hey, that was the analogy she used. I have to go home. But back to place, back to community, back to where I was raised, where my grandfather immigrated from Sweden, and you know, all of that. It's, so, yeah, it's a matter of life for her.
Yeah, it seems as though our identities extend both in time and space. I know my sense of place came very strongly when I was sitting and talking to my grandmother, who grew up on the same land, and she was telling me a story when she was a little girl. And when she was a little girl, as we sat there on the beach, she said, right up there it was, when I was a young girl, 8 or 9, I remember seeing the big Tlingit canoes come down as they were following the harvest. And they came out of the fog right around the point. And I watched them and dove underneath this log. And I said, this log? This log? And she said, yes, this log. And I watched them as they went by, and I was terrified. I watched them go by, singing their songs, and then they went off into the mist again. And all of a sudden, for me, that place was never, ever the same. It was where this event happened to my grandmother. And I occasionally, when I walk the beach, I still hear those songs, the Indian canoes. Anybody else want to share any other experiences of the place that they visited?
When you asked about sounds, it took me a minute, and suddenly I heard the sounds of the horse drawing the milk jug. Forgotten that for a lot of years.
Now, you've heard me say that I think we need place to be psychologically, completely, identity-wise, integrated. And that coming from a sense of place, we can help heal the planet. It comes under the this idea of thinking globally and acting locally. If you go back and heal your place, it's a step on the road to healing the planet. There are others out there who may not agree with that, and I want to throw that open. Do people feel that place is important? Yes.
I require a maple tree. I've had to move a lot, and that's the one thing I can't find.
Any others? Anybody else that feels that place really isn't important? That I've met biologists who say that since they understand the flow of life patterns, they really feel comfortable any place. That the Gaian hypothesis of the Earth being an organism, that they see the patterns of life, the same patterns of life happening wherever they go, even in a city. There are people who are very comfortable in cities. Anybody have any images about going back to a city?
Well, I do in a way. I've moved not a whole lot, but from both coasts and in the middle. I think we've left a significant thing out of there. I feel the Spirit of God is here. And when I went through this curtain, I have a favorite chair where I have my quiet time and where I meditate. And I guess maybe from having moved, that chair is important to me. A place where I can get away alone.
So if you had that chair with you...
I think if you have love... I don't know how to say this. The place isn't all that important. And yet I can see what you're saying. Like, I feel like my real roots are where I grew up as a child. But that's not where I went back when we were closing our eyes for 10 minutes.
It's not by mistake that we would use those words, roots.
I still feel like that's home, but that didn't come to me. Like I hear everybody else saying.
Yeah,
true. This is something I think along the line, what she's trying to say is, to me, place, I've moved a lot as well, and to me, place is not as important as a sense of community. And it can be, much of that needs to be spiritual. That, and for me, I feel more comfortable on bedrock rather than soft sediments or something like this. But community, I think, is the key to a sense of being in a place. It's a sense of community.
I'm trying to get a handle on something I feel that you said that's very important, is that spiritual element. If anyone can give me an assistance with that.
I don't know if this will or not, but for me it's where you find an inner peace. And it's where you're able to come, where you're able to center, and things just kind of fall away, and it's an inner peace.
So like some
kind of spiritual feeling.
So like some famous people that we've read about who spent long years in gulag prisons, who were sustained by their own centeredness, much of which came from maybe memory, remembering, having had proper nourishment and carrying that with them. Maybe they're still being nourished by where they came from. I'm stretching you.
We talk about God's presence in us and among us. Maybe that's...
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes?
I think the only thing that makes me nervous about identifying a place is that maybe it's my place, but is it your place? Or like we've been studying this week, the Palestine is saying it's my place, and the Israeli is saying, no, this is my place. And if it's an identifiable piece of ground or a nation, or is that going to be nationalistic? Does that exclude other ideas and other places as a place for your home or your people? And, you know, that could be also be a source of conflict then. Or maybe your place is so narrow that it doesn't allow new ideas or new races or, you know, whatever needs for the world to exist, to get along.
I think the rhythm has a lot to do with it. Being one with that area, look, you feel that you're part of the wind, you're part of either the meadow or the ocean. You don't feel like a stranger, that it's, I don't know, your blood flows with the same water that you're walking along. And it's not the same for everybody. That's what I find. When I find a place that I really feel good at or feel at home at, it's when I feel total serenity and this rhythm that is on the way. That you're just pulling everything that's happening around you.
So maybe it's, I'm going to pick up on your idea, maybe it's not every place that's special, but there must be some places that remain special. I mean, isn't that part of the function of a church? Is that when you walk through those doors, you're in a very special place. A place that were to be destroyed, would cause kind of a rendering within your own being.
I went to Northern California in my visualization, because that's where I was when I was about a lady who's aging. Seeing her running around barefoot got me a pinch of that. One of the things I did when I was little was get about a billion redwood stickers in my feet, because we had slabs of redwood out in front of our house as stepping stones. And my dad logged redwood. And seeing log trucks with big, huge logs on it was part of my growing up and part of the place in which I live. And so now I have a great desire to preserve the redwood trees, you know, so they're there, not that we're going to cut them. Mm-hmm. And I thought of that in terms of a special place later on in Oregon where I lived was the walnut orchards, you know, and now that's in somebody's front yard. It isn't an orchard anymore. And so I think some of the things that we grow up with in one form, like the fact that we're cutting the trees in, now I see wanting to preserve them so that they're always there.
Yes.
Place seems to be almost as a geographic, seems to be inversely proportionate in importance to the existence of the rest of the church. If I have a sense of a supportive community, then where it isn't important. If I don't have a sense of supportive community, then the place where I felt it becomes exceptionally important. Place that I can identify with that becomes exceptionally important.
So where you had a feeling of what great integration or wholeness or acceptance or love or any of these or
all of these
becomes when you find that again, that's again
fine.
That's home.
That's fine.
Isn't it possible in a circumstance like that that the place is contributing, but people just aren't conscious of the way that it's contributing? They're saying that, you know, that they're oriented toward people rather than the location, but the location may be making its contribution in some unconscious way.
Did everyone hear that? You're saying that doesn't the place, the environment, physical environment, where an interaction like that happens, that you have a powerful feeling, isn't that a major factor in that feeling? Is that right?
Yeah, that's close.
Not necessarily. I've moved to a number of different settings, and I don't think that they're uniquely contributory to that sense of wholeness.
One thing that place does for a lot of people and why it's advocated by Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry, he frankly just said, look, stay home, don't move. Go back to where you came from and figure out what's there, and that's where you make your stand. Dig in. Your home is your home. And you can't run away from all the things that are causing destruction in the world just by heading further out. Go back, make a stand.
Do you think it's also possible maybe that some people don't deserve the places that they live in? like some really beautiful places, or, you know, which usually have high real estate. And that unconsciously people, you know, there's some kind of anxiety generated. That they know they can afford it, but they know that they're not, unconsciously, they're not really settled. So there's some sort of tension that's created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always want to say California. It's a Puget Sound.
When I think of the amount of destruction that's done in the world on a daily basis, hourly, minute, second by second basis, I wonder if that doesn't come from people's perception. And a big part of this game of changing the world is perception. If you really believe that you're intimately connected with everything that is, was, or ever will be on this planet, wherever it is, then you can't just go out there and whack down a bunch of trees. You can't do it in the same way as if you view the trees as being more of an extension of a mechanistic universe. They're just stuff. It's just material. If you actually feel that there's a spiritual essence that pervades every single thing, it changes the way you walk. It changes the way you think. It's just like we're trying laboriously to eradicate he in our vocabulary. We keep saying he, and male apologists keep saying, well, you know, I don't really mean he. I mean he as in the generic human being sense. And the women I know keep saying, you may be thinking that, but your very language that you choose to use only contributes to the masculine domination that's in this culture. And what I want to know is, and it's, we've got good feedback going here, is place necessary?
Sometimes. Well, yeah. In view of what you just said, that if indeed we feel intimately connected with life wherever it happens, then does it make a difference? You know, why can't we be citizens of the world?
Yeah, I understand that, and I also feel this one log on this one beach. With the stones underneath and a gray drizzly day, and my grandmother sitting there telling me a story about this place. There's a wonderful story in this little book, which is called Minding the Earth by a guy named Joseph Meeker. And he tells of a land settlement hearing that was being held in Canada among the Tlingit tribes. And the resource people from all over showed up. And who showed up but one of the Tlingit people wearing a blanket. And into that blanket were woven all the stories of his people. And he proceeded to hold forth in this hearing, telling the stories of this place. And at the end he said, where is your blanket? What know you of this place? So there's the local history that it makes me, when people come to the island and they want to drive a road right down there, or they want to come in. A lot of times people come in and they're feeling claustrophobic. There's too many trees. The first thing they want to do is cut down all the trees. And my encouraging words to them are, well, give it a year. Watch it a whole season. And that you may better decide which trees might be want to cut down, which you maybe just want to prune or trim. But give it a year. Give it a season. There's something about being in a place throughout seasons that gives you a gift of sight that you don't get any other way. And there's something about being in a place through time, longer time, that you don't get any other way. Yes?
Yeah, I agree with the idea of being there a season and cutting down the trees that only need to be cut down. And, but in the scope of the world, and many people as there are, there's no way we can preserve everything that we grew up to think about, because of just the sheer numbers or the mass of people is going to take up a lot of that space.
Yeah, I hear you there, and that's why I wonder if our Western culture, our emphasis toward wilderness areas, is that a legitimate substitute for the kind of nourishment and renewal that we need? I mean, one of the things that's real special about Holden is it's miles up here in a wilderness area. And notwithstanding, there's this large environmental hack right outside our back door. A reminder of man's presence in a different intention. But there's something that's real special about Holden here being this far removed from everything else.
But that only bothers you if you let it.
That doesn't bother you if you don't let it?
No. No. You don't have to see it if you don't want to. You know, it only bothers you if you let it. So if you came here to get the renewal and the peace of mind and everything, but you're so bothered by that thing over there, you might as well go back down and get on the plane and go back to wherever you came from, because you're not going to gain it.
Right.
You're not going to get it. You have to allow yourself to get what you want wherever you are.
Whoever's on the Holden board should quote this gentleman, because that's going to be an issue probably when they start taking the tailings and reworking them.
Sometimes I guess we have to be grateful for these environmental hacks that we do get. Because without it, we wouldn't be here.
You're so right.
Yeah. But when I was talking with my wife about this session, and we talked about the question, so what? What about place? So what, really? Her analogy was one that came from Christ on the cross. Her feeling, or at least the story that's told, is that it wasn't for atonement. It was to introduce the idea of compassion into the world. And when you go back to a place, when you start taking care of a place, and a place, in my opinion, can be as small as a little garden box outside your window, you're exercising this kind of compassion that can only spread and grow. To me, that's the real message of loving a place, finding its song and listening to it. Yeah?
I think place must be really important, because the movement in this country towards malls and suburbs, they all look the same. And we do the same things in them, and songs about them relate to a lot of different people. And so even though we move from geographic location to geographic location, we set it up so it looks like the last one. And we meet the same kind of people, and we make the same kind of friends, and go to the same kind of churches, hear the same kind of sermons. So something must be important, because we control it to be the way we want it.
Yeah, real good point. You know, Holiday Inn made their fortune by making every Holiday Inn exactly the same. And McDonald's followed suit. You can go anywhere in the world to a Holiday Inn. You walk through the door, it opens the same way. The light switch is in the same spot. The beds are in the same place. It's just like home. That's the association they're driving at.
One thing you might think about American society is everybody in this room had ancestors whose sense of place was much different than most people in the world. They voluntarily got up and left that sense of place to come here. And the whole tradition of this country has been leaving a place and moving on, which is much different than almost all other societies.
Right, and a lot of those people were not just voluntarily, they were leaving a place that they were glad to get rid of.
So,
a place or a society that they were happy to be.
And that's why we're an ahistorical society. We deliberately cut ourselves off from our roots, and usually the first generation, second generation didn't want to have anything to do with it. It's usually the pattern is third generation, all of a sudden starts rosemalling, you know.
Where did we come from, really?
Yeah.
Dad. If you're wondering if this session has some grand conclusion, I hate to disappoint you, because it really doesn't. Yes?
Like to add, in terms of your description of place there, would you consider this a utopian description?
Well, I think we need to draw a distinction too. Is this a place, a sustaining place, or is this a place where a critical event happened? Of the type that you were mentioning, that you were feeling all of a sudden different. Your eyes have changed, your heart was changed somehow. When I think of this, I think of stories that I've read of people in prison where they're banded together in extreme duress and hardship. And that has become a sustaining type of experience for them. But it's not the kind of place that I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of an organic connection.
Isn't that Holden?
Does your island comprise all those elements?
Yeah, except there are blinders now on people, in my opinion.
On other people?
Well, on all of us. I think we're all living under a grand illusion. Our great success as an animal, as a species, is the fact that we have a breeding strategy that's different than any other animal on the planet.
I hope so.
And we're able to create our own niche. We take over niches, we expand our niches, contract them, we go bully other animals out of their niche, we just move around. And that adaptability is both a blessing in our successful sense, and it's a curse because of what we allow ourselves to get used to. Puget Sound now is not, in my opinion, a healthy place to live. The ambient air quality there is lousy. Now, there are people, you know, there's a spectrum. Some people are going to be more affected than other people on that. But it's not, we have this image in our head of Puget Sound as this pristine, clean area, and it's not.
I guess I'm not following you somewhere.
Well, what I'm saying is that a lot of people who come to Vashon think, God, what a wonderful place. This is great.
To where?
To Vashon Island, where I live.
Oh.
And they love it. It's got all this stuff. It's got a pace of living. It's
but
got the environment. It's got the community. And what I think is I think that they're living now under an illusion.
But you don't like it there? You can always move, right?
You could always move.
I'm just not following you.
Well, I'm entrenched there. I went back there. I went back, you know, I went away to college, and I made a decision to go back to the island and set up my family there. And that if my feeling was that if any place on the planet, especially in the Western world, was going to realize the more utopic vision of all these elements, it was going to be an island. It was going to be a place that was defined by a body of water where sprawl couldn't creep up slowly. It had to leapfrog.
It's where you grew up.
That's where I grew up.
You went back.
And I went away to college, and I came back.
Do you think anything stands still? It can't stand still.
No, I don't know. I don't think it can stand still either. I think there's a certain mindfulness, though, about being there. We have loggers that come by that want to take down the last standing virgin fruit trees on the place. And one of the things my grandfather told us was that we'd like to give the land to you, and he wasn't even really our grandfather's odd arrangement, because of those big trees back there. We know that you feel about them the way that we do. So I could look at that tree as something to cut down and make my house out and board feet and all the other things. Or those trees take on kind of a mystical, sacred aspect to them. That the issue of cutting them down just isn't even there. Well, both. It's both. I've come to know those trees now in a pretty personal way.
That's part of your roots.
Yeah. Now, would I be willing to sacrifice that to the greater good if it was shown to me through long calculations that the health and wealth of the planet was really contingent on me dropping that tree? What I would probably have to do is go through some real clarifying in my own mind and reconciling with that tree. Now, I believe that every place, everything has a spirit. And it's not just for vague reasons that I try and step over little bugs crawling on the ground. I don't know when that awareness came to me exactly, but there's a consciousness about it that kind of pervades what I do. I don't do it all the time, but I'm getting there. It's becoming more and more important. Are we be happy to stick around for a while if people want to talk.